Welcome to Minnesota Reads this morning here on KUMD. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. When this book came across my desk, Think South by Kathy DeMaul, I looked at the cover, I saw sled dogs, I got excited, I said, oh, this will be a perfect conversation to have at some time during the John Bear Grease Sled Dog Marathon. Not realizing at the time that our new Bear Grease reporter, John Stetson, was in fact a part of the international trans... The International Trans-Antarctica Expedition back in 1989. He told me in a separate conversation that that's where he'd gotten started training dogs for Will Steger, and all of the connections, all of the pieces fall into place. The executive director of that expedition has written an incredible book, obviously, called Think South, and she joins us on the phone to tell us more about it. Kathy DeMaul, good morning, and thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
One of the first things that I thought about is, and I guess because we're getting ready for our Bear Grease coverage here at KUMD, we're juggling a lot of details, and it's a small race, and it's just a few days, and already sometimes it seems overwhelming. How in the world do you manage directing, being the executive director of an expedition like this, directing an expedition like this that took numerous years, countless thousands of dollars, and in amazing and astonishing and horrendous logistics to put together, and then remember enough about the experience afterwards to say, hey, I think this would make a cool book?
Well, it is a daunting project, and part of the way that you're successful, I always tell people, is that you don't know how daunting it is when you get started, and then you get to a certain point and you can't go backwards. Just it's very similar to the actual expedition, where you just got to keep going. We raised $11 million. We worked with the governments of China and the Soviet Union, and we were in this absolutely incredible window of time when everybody wanted to work together and was willing to contribute. And we didn't realize how lucky we were at the time, because it wouldn't have been possible, I don't think, any other year, any other decade. So some of it's luck. Some of it is ambition and a naivete, and some of it is just plain hard work.
Wow. It's just amazing. And when you look at some of the photographs, there's something about the photographs in the book that put you there, and you suddenly see the expedition in a different way. You don't necessarily sort of see the Hollywood, people dressed in beautiful outfits, and they're, you know, leaning against a light breeze and some snowflakes are floating picturesquely. You see people almost unrecognizable. They're rimed with frost. You see dogs almost indistinguishable in drifts of snow, and you realize, this is serious business here. This is amazing.
They had 60 days. If you look at the map of Antarctica, they took the absolute longest route. It was almost 4,000 miles, which is 7 months. So they had to start the expedition in the dark and finish the expedition in the dark. And they were climbing up mountains with heavy crevasses, 18 stories deep on either side of them. And they had 60 days of weather, the equivalent of Hurricane Hugo, which was happening at the same time back where we were trying to make all of this happen. And with all of that, we only had satellite connection with them and got 32 characters from them once a day. So we were literally, you know, four or five words was all we knew to find out how they were doing. So it was quite a feat for them. And obviously for us trying to manage it and keep them safe.
Kathy, what was the most interesting thing, I'm sure there's not a most interesting thing, but what are a few of the interesting things that you learned revisiting this entire experience to write this book that maybe you'd missed out on, or heaven forbid, people had kept from you while it was actually happening?
Well, there was one story that I was I was sworn to secrecy about at the time, which later, as things changed with the Soviet Union and the United States, I was allowed to tell, and that was about how the Russians basically saved us at the end, or in the middle of the expedition when we ran out of fuel. It's a very long story. It's in the book, so I won't go into it. But, you know, for me, I wasn't on the ice. So my book and my story is about all of what happened behind the scenes. And I started this expedition, working on this expedition, thinking that we were going to prove that everybody was the same, that, you know, everybody around the world was the same, and if we all worked together, we would accomplish great things, which is true. But that also what really struck me were the cultural differences, and that's the book is a lot about the characters behind the scenes from all the countries that we worked with and how we had to navigate those cultural differences in order for everybody to get along and for everything to work.
Do you think that America, I realize I'm going off on a tiny tangent here, but do you think that America has been, or that Americans perhaps, have been a little bit naive when we've kind of adopted that attitude? Oh, we're all together. We all, you know, kind of want the same things. Do we need to pay a little bit more attention to these cultural differences than we have in the past?
Oh, I think we get a tremendous amount back when we do that. And so I would say yes. It was just a fascinating time because we were in the middle of perestroika and the Soviets were reaching out to us to get involved and learning about what they had been through and their attitude towards money, towards government, towards all sorts of things, really changed the dynamic and the perspective for us. And also the fact that the U.S. was not helping us and the Soviets were, was a real wake-up call, and trying to understand why and how that worked was an interesting challenge.
What do you think as you, and again, I'm not going to ask you necessarily to go into this in a lot of depth, because I realize that that isn't your capacity here, but you are in such a unique position to comment about that spirit of cooperation and the idea that people all want to work together. Do you think that we can get back to that, or do you think that that is gone forever? Because it's certainly not the kind of atmosphere that we're living in right now.
No, it's a sad time from that perspective, at least for me. You know, I still hold Antarctica out as a beacon, and I hope that it has sets an example. You know, the Con Ed of Antarctica is run by committee. It is unanimous consensus decision making from nations all over the world, and it's dedicated to science and to sharing data, and no military activity of any sort is allowed, and they monitor each other's stations to be sure that's true. And there's talk that may become a model for how we manage space cooperatively as we begin to explore space and, you know, who owns it and what's it for, you know, what is our exploration all about. So it's not a very hopeful time right now, but it's the scientists in Antarctica who discovered the ozone hole and began the conversation about climate change. Most of those scientists are still down there working their tails off trying to track it all. So I'm hopeful. You got to stay hopeful.
Well, Kathy, what a wonderful opportunity to get you on the line and to talk with you about it. This book, absolutely, it did come out a couple of years back, and yet this book is a wonderful, wonderful read for folks, you know, either that come into it initially, as I did, they look at the cover, they see sled dogs, they go, oh, sled dogs, hey, or a person who is more thoughtful about some of the changes that our world is going through, and ultimately a very hopeful read. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. What a treat.
Thank you for having me.
Kathy DeMaul, our guest this morning here on Minnesota Reads. She wrote a book called Think South, How to Dog Sled Across Antarctica.